Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you have brought us into your kingdom of grace and dedicated us wholly to you through faith in your Son. We pray that you would stir up our hearts in true and sincere faith, that we may be preserved in Christ and someday stand before your presence eternally. We ask it all in our Lord's saving name. Amen. Fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace and kindness and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Redeemer. Amen. I invite you to hear again just the first verse of our text. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. It was about the 1820s or 30s when American schools suddenly realized there was a need for physical education in their curriculum. And from that point on, slowly began to build it in. Not too many years after that, the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, was organized as a place where people could go. There was suddenly in the mid-1800s this surge of seeing the value of taking care of your body and physical exercise. And even today in our school systems and even here at the college, we see a need for physical exercise. Many students who come to this campus for tours, maybe you are one of them, look to see if we have good workout equipment and gymnasium opportunities. Taking care of our bodies is a very important part of our lives. A lot of people speculate that St. Paul may have been athletic himself, or at least enjoyed athletics, because there are a number of places in the New Testament where he makes reference to athletic things or things that an athlete would be concerned about. Here he uses the imagery of an athlete doing bodily exercise to train himself or herself. And he tells us that there certainly is earthly benefit to doing this. Even if you don't like to do it, I think we all agree there's an earthly benefit to doing it. There's something good for our bodies to get out and walk or run or ride a bike and so on. He says to us, however, in our text, bodily exercise profits a little. So it does help us a little. In the scope of eternity, it helps us a little bit. It may make your life a little easier for health reasons and things like that, maybe weight and so on. He says it benefits us for the life that now is, the life that now is. To the Corinthians, St. Paul also wrote that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We just heard a beautiful dedication gradual that for the dedication of a house of the Lord, when God comes to dedicate a sanctuary to be his very own. Maybe you've been a part of that in a congregation you've been in. Many years ago, this sanctuary we're sitting in now was dedicated as a special spot on campus for hearing the Word of God. And the same happened to your physical body. Maybe in your baptism or when you were brought to faith, that God the Holy Spirit entered your heart and claimed even your physical body as his temple, purified before God because of the Savior you're connected to by faith. And yet, for our physical bodies, in the same way that athletes find this out, even when you're in college and that age of life and you're maybe in the best shape you think you'll ever be in your life, we can still have aches and pains. Just amazes me how many people I see on crutches on this campus in September, once the soccer season and the volleyball season and track and everything gets going. And sometimes even the greatest athletes and those who can be in the greatest shape can still have problems with their earthly bodies. If you were to go up to the Twin Cities, there's a big statue of one of the greatest National Basketball Association players that ever lived, a man by the name of George Mikan, played back in the 1950s. 6'10", he was the Shaquille O'Neal of his day. George Mikan was such an amazing specimen and such a tremendous athlete, they had to change the rules of basketball because of him. He changed at least 5 rules, they think, because he was such a tremendous athlete. And yet, his life was cut short because of diabetes and kidney failure. So even the best athletes, and those who maybe have the best health care to take care of them, still suffer with the problems of this fallen world. St. Paul contrasts the training of an athlete in this world and the physical exercise that we put into taking care of our bodies. He contrasts that to a much higher, more important form of training when it comes to our spiritual lives, one that is beneficial not just for now, but also and especially for the life that is to come. He says, "But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Godliness. So what does he mean by that? Godliness. That word encompasses a lot of stuff, if you will. Think about a target with a crosshairs in the middle and then circles that go out from that. The central crosshairs is the cross itself of godliness. And that's what he's aiming at primarily. When you and I, by the work of the Holy Spirit, bring all of our wickedness and sin before God in humble confession and repent before him and learn of his marvelous, wonderful, sweet grace in Christ, that our Lord Jesus has paid for every sin we've ever done, forgiven us entirely, declared us holy, given us the promise of going to heaven. This is the central crosshairs of the target of godliness. And everything that permeates out from that as well, as far as the believer now loving Christ and wanting to follow his word. What St. Paul is really saying to us here, just like an athlete who is so primarily focused on taking care of themselves so that they can do their best and perform their best to win a prize, St. Paul is saying to us in the spiritual realm, be focused primarily on your spiritual life in Christ, staying with him by faith and through repentance. And this takes place when we continue to hold on to him and his grace, when we realize that the most important thing in life is what God has won for us through Christ and the hope of heaven that we have waiting for us, when we go to his word and sacrament to strengthen ourselves and re-exercise our faith over and over again, and when we take the word of God into our lives of sanctification and apply it to our daily lives, this is what St. Paul is talking about. He says, "Godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Now, did you notice that? He says this life of godliness of the believer that the Holy Spirit works in us is profitable for the life that now is. Yes, we all know it's for the life that is to come. Of course, it'll take us to heaven. But there's also an earthly benefit to this life of godliness that loves Christ and follows his word. Our Lord Jesus says to us, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Not just eternally blessed, but also here in this life. I've talked to many Christians who throughout their lives have had difficulties happen to them because of their faith. Sometimes it can be challenging to be a Christian. Sometimes it means giving something up because of your faith. And yet at the same time, if you really keep talking to them about it, they'll tell you there was still a blessing in there. God always attaches a blessing to us in this life when we listen to his word and apply it to our day-to-day lives. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that promise is not just for the world that's coming, but even the lives we're living here right now. So God would certainly have us take care of our bodies because by faith he's made them the temple of the Holy Spirit. But also to use that as a picture of how we should take care of our spiritual lives so that someday we can stand in his eternal temple in the mansions above. Amen.